Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Asta Tarasata Fishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Asta Tarasata Fishimad His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Iskon Fandar Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Garantara Shimam Bhagavatam Ki Itai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishiguru and Shigoranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, the Summon Bonon, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, Text 5. And six. Text number 5. Purehabunam vahabo pijoginas tvat arpiteha nija karma labdaya vibhudhya bhaktyaiva katha katopanitaya prapedirenjo chutate gatim param. Translation. O Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. Through such devotional service perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you, they came to understand you, O Infallible One. One could easily surrender to you and achieve the supreme abode. Text number 6. Tathapi bhuman mahima gunasyate vibhodhunar hatya malantar atma bhi Abhikriyat swanubhavat arupato Hyananya bodhyat madat anmatayana chanjata Tathapi bhuman mahima gunasyate Vibhodhun arhatya malantaratma bhi Abhikrijat swanubhavat arupato Yananya bodhyat matat atmatayana chanjatha Tathapi bhuman mahima gunasyate Vibhottunar hatya malantaratma bhi Abhikrijat swanubhavat arupato Yananya bodhyat matajatna chanjata Please chant. Thank you. Tatapi buman mahina mamasyate. Tata api, nevertheless, Bhuman, O limitless one, Mahima, the potency, Agunasya, of him who has no material qualities, Te, of you, Vibodhum, to understand, Arhati, one is able, amala, spotless, anta-atma-bihi, with mind and senses, abrikriyat, not based on material differentiations, swa-anubhabhat, by perception of the Supreme Soul, arupataha, without attachments to material forms, he indeed anyabodhya atmataya as self-manifested without the help of any other illuminating agent. Na, not. Cha, an. Anyata, otherwise. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C., actually, the disciples, the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Non-devotees, however, cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and all attachment to material sense objects. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to them. Purport. It is difficult for conditioned souls to understand all the transcendental features of the Supreme Lord, as confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The transcendental existence of God is understood progressively as the impersonal effulgence, the localized supersoul in one's heart, and finally, the supreme personality of Godhead existing in his eternal abode. Lord Krishna's transcendental existence is beyond the qualities of material nature. Thus, here, the Lord is referred as Agunasya, without material qualities. Even by practicing yoga or engaging in advanced philosophical speculation, one will find it very difficult to understand clearly the transcendental existence beyond the modes of material nature. And these processes are virtually useless for understanding the Lord's own unlimited transcendental qualities, which are far beyond the impersonal conception of a spiritual existence. Only by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord, or by associating with the Lord Himself, one can begin the process of realizing the personal future of God, a process that culminates in pure Krishna consciousness, the final and supreme perfection of knowledge. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Vishnupasya Putare Srimate Ramapada Swami Dipane. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishnapasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin iti namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashityade Shatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So these are very important teachings that comes from the perfect realization of Lord Brahma. Recognizing his mistake and learning from that by the mercy of the Lord, the theme that we're going to see through the prayers of Lord Brahma is this: he basically understanding the root cause of the mistake that he made. That when we take the principle that is taught by Lord Krishna through Lord Brahma, for all of us, it's a very, very important principle. Extremely important principle. That addresses this symptom of material condition that is very, very much ingrained in the conditioned soul, which is the propensity to mental speculation, or to try to understand things through the power, to our own power of analyzing and our own intelligence and our mental capacity. So is at the heart of the conditioned soul and is rooted in this desire of to be self-sufficient and independent, to be more or less a controller, and mentality is Ishwaraham, aham bogi, that I am a controller, I'm an enjoyer. And from this desire of independence, then we trust our capacity of analyzing and understanding. If I can see or if I can experience, then, I can understand things as they are, the reality. And Lord Brahma found himself, although he is the original the person who originally received the Vedic knowledge in this universe, the Adi Kavi. It is explained that he received Vedic knowledge directly from the personality of Godhead, and through him, Vedic knowledge was delivered to the to the world, to Lord Brahma. So he is the original Vedic scholar. He knows the Vedas. And so in that position, with that type of knowledge of the Vedas, this then he's trying to understand by the power of his knowledge, he's trying to understand Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Krishna's most intimate personal manifestation. So he's trying to measure, understand, calculate. It's all this, it's the process of, with my power of understanding and knowledge, and trying to understand the absolute truth. Test this reality that is here. And by Krishna's mercy, he was able to be corrected, see where his mistake was. And now he's offering these beautiful prayers that are extremely instructive for all of us in terms of becoming free from that propensity for mental speculation. And so one, give up this ascending process of understanding the absolute truth, and simply dedicate fully oneself, put oneself fully under the shelter of this descending mercy, descending knowledge. So he's emphasizing two things through the prayers, and then he constantly making this comparison of those who embrace this this process of devotional service under the shelter of this descending mercy of hearing and chanting from the devotees, and the process. So the process of taking shelter of those devotees who are constantly chanting, so one hears and chants through that. And so he's constantly making this comparison. If one is in this situation, then what are the things that happens? What are the benefits? What's the position that we find ourselves? And then if we don't, if we maintain this stubborn position of trying to on our own prowess understand the absolute truth, then here's the situation we find ourselves. So he's constantly making this throughout the prayers. We see how he, you know, put the situations like that. And is these prayers are very beautiful because it's the internal process of Lord Brahma, which is the head of our sampradaya, which is quite touching too, of realizing the importance of this lesson that by Krishna's mercy was delivered to him. I was able to see it, to see that that the position of the conditioned soul is regardless, even if you're Lord Brahma, is that you're a humble servant of those who are closely associated with the Lord, who are very intimately connected to the Lord. And then how dependent we are from those associates of the Lord to understand or to have entrance into understanding the personality of Godhead in full, in truth, in, you know, to have access to that, to have entrance into that space. So in the Brahma Samhita, he says that, he makes the point, Vedesha Durlava Adurlava Atma Bhakto. So even with all his perfect knowledge of the Vedas, Vedesha Durlava, is impossible to understand. It's impossible to understand Krishna, who is Advaitan, Achyutan, Anadin, Anantarupan, Adhyam, Purana, Purushan, Navayovanancha. To understand Krishna's position is impossible, true knowledge of the Vedas. What to speak, mental speculation. But to the Atma Bhakto, taking shelter on the devotees of the Lord who are constantly chanting the glories of the Lord, then Adurlava, then it becomes very simple. So that's the important principle, that we have to give up this propensity of trying to of mental speculation, and sometimes Prabhupada translated as the mental, you know, the mental platform, which is basically is accepting and rejecting according to our experience. We're presented with a series of circumstances, and we have to figure it out. So we have, according to whatever capacity, knowledge, experience we have, then we analyze, oh, this is good, or this is bad. I accept, I reject. So I found a very telling thing that Prabhupada said about this, that brings to the principle that apply to the conditioned soul in terms of mental speculation. And Prabhupada said, this material life is the material life of constant mental speculation and living on the mental platform of accepting and rejecting all things presented by Maya for our imprisonment. Now, as conditioned souls, we sometimes carry this same materialistic mentality over our spiritual life by thinking we know as much or maybe even more than our bona fide spiritual master. We don't accept his clear explanation. This means that we think we know more than our spiritual master. This mentality means we can interpret what he says, even though sometime may not need any interpretation at all. So Lord Brahma, in one sense, you know, from his elevated position, he had some of this propensity for mental speculation. Even with his understanding, his spiritual master was, you know, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, you know, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. But when he came to actually observe Krishna, he was still affected by trying to understand Krishna from this, his personal experience. His personal experience, in one sense, is the worship of the personality of Godhead in awe and reverence. So when he sees, he can understand Krishna's position in this intimate setup. So now, with the power of his knowledge is trying to analyze and directly being corrected by the Lord himself. Now, for ourselves, then Lord Brahma is telling us that we give up this propensity for mental speculation and simply while performing our duties, we fully dedicate ourselves to the process of hearing and chanting under the shelter of a devotee. That process is the process of Krishna consciousness. That's how we receive transcendental knowledge. That's how we receive entrance to understand Krishna in truth. It's the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That transcendental knowledge is this Yamma Karma Chamay Divyan Evan Yovedi Tattataha. That we can understand Krishna in truth if we approach someone who have actually full darshan of that truth. Tattva darshis, tat vidhi parnipatena pariprashtena sevaya. We take shelter of a spiritual master. And this pariprasnena sevaya is that with full submission, we submit ourselves to the spiritual master. And then, in that position of submission, then mental speculation becomes nullified. Prabhupada said, the position of a disciple is like this. If the spiritual master say, this rope is a snake, for the disciple, the rope is a snake. It's that type of faith. It sounds extreme, or, you know, his example is extreme, but it's the principle of a full faith in the words of the spiritual master. With this process of hearing and chanting and dedicating oneself, worshipping the process that is being given to us by which this descending mercy comes, this understanding comes, then this dedication is what allows us to understand how to make proper choices, what is right and what is wrong, so we can be situated free, we can act free from mental speculation. Now, in the process of devotional service, in the gradual process, we find out that we are in this the process is about purifying this propensity, the propensity for mental speculation. Ultimately, the process of purifying from mental speculation is called saranagati, which means that you surrender to your spiritual master and to Krishna, Guru and Krishna. So we surrender to that. So it's a gradual surrender, and only by the mercy of Krishna, then all the things start to dissipate by the process of hearing and chanting from the devotee. Srushusho shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi. So, syam mahat sevaya vipra. That to serve the devotees, then we come to the position of developing this taste or this attachment to hear. When we hear constantly, then Srimbatan Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanan, and then what is it? Nasta Praeshwabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam, that these things that are blocks within the heart that maintains us in this position of independence, that is through our own powers that we are going to figure it out and understand everything, becomes eliminated, destroyed, almost destroyed. So it's a very important lesson. And when Srila Ramananda Roy answered to Lord Chaitanya's query, what is the goal of life, then when he said this verse that we just read, number 3, what is it? How's it go? Samantha Eva, what is it? Yana Priyasha Udapasya Samantha Eva, that the famous verse that, you know, that yes, that's it. Go further, but you know, that's the entrance of that, that now is not external, but this is, we're in the right space. So that's the principle of being able to at least ourselves, even if we're still affected, if we simply displace this propensity that we have of mental speculation and just surrender, put ourselves into this shelter, then we'll be perfectly situated. Then go further, go further, go further. But this is the position of security. Everything else could, Lord Chaitanya say, external. Could be external, still superficial. You can still, you know, be affected. So even when we come to devotional service, if we are not perfectly situated in this position of understanding this principle, how dependent we are on our spiritual master and the process, this descending process, for everything, then is not secure. We're in a very, you know, vulnerable position. So, very, very important. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes on to say that we have to take this relationship of surrendering, taking lessons for a dog. So he have all this, he have this son in which he prayers that I want to be like a dog of my spiritual master. You know, whatever remnants he give, whatever things he give, you know, whatever, you know, I'll be, doesn't matter. This, I'll be a faithful dog to my spiritual master. Is that very beautiful? What is it? The name is, of the song is, Sarvasya Tomar Charane Shampiya. Right? You heard that song before? Yeah. Translates like this: now that I have surrendered all I possess, I fall prostrate before your house. You are the Supreme Lord. Kindly consider me your household dog. Chain me nearby and maintain me as you will. I shall remain at the doorsteps and allow not enemies to enter your house. I will keep them at the bounds of the moat surrounding your home. Whatever remnants your devotees leave behind after honoring your prasad will be my daily substance. I will feast on those remnants with great ecstasy. While sitting up, while lying down, I will constantly meditate on your lotus feet. Whenever you call, I immediately run to you and dance in rapture. I will never think of my own maintenance, but rather remain transported by a multitude of ecstasies. Bhakti Vinod accepts you as his only support. Oh, he's referring to the Supreme Lord. But sometimes Prabhupada said, you know, that's the mood also towards Krishna's devotees. So, so mental speculation, this is a big enemy. And as long, we have to recognize that, and that translates into everything, you know. Yesterday, Bhakta Josh and I, we were talking, and, you know, sometimes you find out the same principle, just we can find ourselves very easily in trying to analyze even the teachings of the acharyas or our spiritual master, the instructions, and then we're trying to, according to my experience, according to whatever thing, you know, I bring out my capacity, I'm trying to analyze and make a particular interpretation. Sometimes I rationalize things. Oh yeah, I can do like that, but the spiritual master say something, you take out something and then hear. Prabhupada said like that. And but we have to understand that as long, like Krishna says in this verse, that unless we become purified from material distinctions and attachments to material sense object, then there's no way we can fully understand things. Why? Because I'm still afflicted by this, you know, four defects. I'm still conditioned. I'm seeing things through the to the lens of whatever this body is conditioned to. It's incredible sometimes when you have a close relationship with someone else, and then sometimes, I don't know if you have the experience, I'm sure we all have it in some way, that the same object you see differently. And you're experiencing completely differently. Because it's due to our conditioning. So, so we cannot trust that capacity. At least we have to come to that understanding. That I cannot trust my capacity. I have to use my intelligence, but the proper use of my intelligence is to take the shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So always guided through that, always referring to that, and with full shelter, to have these three elements always present. So otherwise it's a mental platform. There's a good example. How do we know we're in the mental platform? Prabhupada gave a couple of examples that are also very telling. In one lecture, Prabhupada answered this question, that he gave a few examples, you know, graphic examples. He says, you know, you're sitting in the temple room, and the sun, you know, is coming through the window and it's beating, it's very hot. So then in general, we're presented with a circumstance and we need to resolve it. So I move to the to a shadow, to a, that, you know, when there is some shadow, then I solve the problem. So, however, the change of circumstances doesn't change the fact that the problem is not the sun. Prabhupada says the problem is that we're in body, that the suffering of the suffering and the miseries that we have to experience is because we are within this body. He makes the example, like this fly was going around and is disturbing. So a solution, kill the fly. But Srila Prabhupada said, that doesn't solve the problem. The problem is that you're going to be suffering. These three miseries are there, either by some living entity, by nature, or by your own body. So the solving the problem is understanding, becoming free from this material condition of life. So basically becoming free from material distinctions that Krishna says here. So he also put another example. Let me see if I find it here. I was just preparing a little bit. She was also very fantastic. I got it. So, yeah.
You know how to change the battery?
You know?
No, but I can.
The inside there, open. There's a little green light on the bottom. You know, no. The green light, you see in that, you do it. Yes, that's it. Thank you. So anyway, we have to get out of this material condition. We have to understand that the real problem is that we're conditioned. And when we accept that, then we can take full shelter. Otherwise, we'd be constantly doing this mental speculation. You have to be giving up. And that's what I'm taking from these amazing, beautiful prayers. Comments or questions, please. Yes, Peru.
Hare Krishna, Swarupu. Thank you for this wonderful, nice morning lecture. Sorry if it was a few minutes late, I had some bodily. Anyways. So, my question is, you brought up a very interesting point that the mood of a Sharanagata is to think himself the servant of the servant of the servant. And in that spirit, he takes shelter of his spiritual master, knowing that I am not capable of understanding the absolute truth. And I've been meditating on this idea because I'm seeing more and more how identification is such a crucial aspect of spiritual life. Who do we think we are? And it's very easy under the influence of karma to start identifying with our good qualities or our bad qualities, like I'm insecure, or I'm very good as a preacher, I'm very good at this, I'm a good cook, I'm a good this, I'm a good whatever, or I'm not good at anything. You know what I'm saying? And in that spirit, we lose that connection with the parampara. We lose the connection with our eternal spiritual self.
Right.
And to illustrate this, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the fault of Bharat Maharaj was not that he took care of the deer. His fault was that he thought, I am taking care of this deer, that I am maintaining this deer, when in fact the Supreme Lord maintains everyone. So that was his fault, his identification with his actions, and therefore creating an identity from it that created a false identity that I'm maintaining this deer. So I was wondering, because you're so experienced, you've been around for some years, maybe you could give us some advice on how we can introspect in our own spiritual life and realize that I'm working with the wrong identification here. You know, I'm working with the wrong identification. Does that question make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I would say, in my limited experiences, you know, I can recognize what you said, because sometimes through my, you know, in my personal experience, in my relationship with my spiritual master, there have been situations in that I feel, you know, part of what the spiritual master does is that he fans, you know, your desires to serve, and also in general encourage you to use your propensities to serve Krishna, and then guides you. So there are situations in which you thinking, you know, okay, I like to serve the Lord, you know, and then I'm being encouraged. And then I have a particular, just as you said, I recognize myself, I have an identification. And then in general, it's not very objective. You know, it's from my perspective. And I'm perfectly convinced. And there have been situations in which I go to my spiritual master with this grandiose idea, you know, of I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and you know, like that, I got it all figured out, and then he just pulled the rug. He said, well, you know, something that it just brings things down to earth. And then, you know, it's disconcerting, because your ego is touched, you know. The concept of oneself gets, you know, like, questioned. That actually, I'm, you know, I give you an example. There was one time that we were running a preaching center in New Jersey, and then I have this grandiose idea of a restaurant. You know, I know how to cook a little bit. And, you know, I figured it out, you know, we put a restaurant, you know, the whole thing, you know, like that, and we have a little funds and things, you know, and then my spiritual master listened to it and say, well, you have to find someone who is a business person if you want to even come close to do that. And say, wait, you know. So basically the truth is that you don't have in your blood business, you know. So he says, how a business person think is how to make money at everything, you know, like that. So, you know, do you think like that? You know? So then reality hits. And that was the end of that plan. So, you know, I think somehow or other, if we have faith in our spiritual authority, understanding that, yeah, you know, even if it hurts, then you have faith that, you know, what my spiritual master is a bona fide representative of Krishna. And because he is bona fide in that position, then he knows my heart, because Krishna is within my heart. And I have faith on that. I have faith that whatever my spiritual master tells me, that's the right position. Even if it's, you know, even if it hurts like anything. And boy, we know that, you know, through the process of devotional service, The anatomy really is painful. But it's a great pain. It's that pain that gives you hope, you know? It's the pain that, you know, like this, the athletes, you know, say, no pain, no gain, you know? So, but it's to achieve a goal. So, it is painful because, and the spiritual master has the center of, you know, doing all that surgery of things, taking stuff out. And you find yourself that constantly you're reminding of your small position, that we actually, you know, you're a humble servant, you're dependent. We're like a dog, you know. And to be able to embrace that position, it takes time. To embrace the position of, I'm just a simple servant, and, you know, insignificant servant. It's not easy. But it's our Guru Maharaj who's going to help us come to that position. And we embrace it. It's great. Pain, bring it on, you know. And you know, let me learn. Like Lord Brahma, this is very painful. I mean, Lord Brahma is expressing the pain of you know, realizing his position, and also the gratitude once, you know, he comes to realize that, you know, and actually this is the reality. So there was pain. But is this position of relief of being help. So I think that's a very important principle. I think, you know, to take that shelter, and that's how we can be safe throughout somehow or other. That Keshav Kishore Prabhu.
Thank you, Suhan. In the process of learning, we tend to do our own interpretations, and that brings a lot of interpretations, in misinterpretations and speculations. But I would like you to explain me why Brahma, who is a demigod, was prone to do his own speculations if he kind of knows it all. He's a demigod. I don't understand. I don't have that clear. When you said in a moment, like, Brahma speculates, he's prone to speculate.
Well, that's the point of this principle, that we cannot understand Krishna just by our own prowess. You have to receive the mercy. So either by Krishna directly or by Krishna's devotee. So in that's the realization Lord Brahma is expressing here. That by Krishna's mercy he was able to see, otherwise impossible. He won't be, even with all the knowledge of the Vedas, he cannot understand Krishna.
Because they have a relationship. They do have a dynamic between them permanently throughout the entire...
Not with Lord Krishna, you know, Swayam Bhagavan, you know, Vrindavan Krishna. He had a relationship with Lord Vishnu. But now that he's experiencing, he's seeing, you know, Vrindavan Krishna, then as he got all confused. He can't understand. You can't understand. You thought you understood, but you can. You can't understand. Krishna is inconceivable. And that, coming to that position that we can only understand Krishna, and that's Lord Brahma's realization. You can only understand Krishna as Krishna's mercy is descending. You know, and therefore, just do this. take shelter of the devotees and engage yourself in the process of hearing and chanting. You know, hearing. He puts this position of, you know, hearing. Because that's the only way you can understand. Jitendra Prabhu. Is it on?
Yeah. Is it working? We don't see things as they are, but we see things as we are.
Yeah.
And the clarity of the subject matter depends on the person, not on the subject matter itself. And then Krishna reveals according to the surrender. So those are just a few things that came to my mind.
Nice. Jai Baladev is...
He doesn't need a microphone.
Is,
he doesn't need
no, well, yeah, people like to hear him. But it's 9:39. I'm sorry. No, I'm going to, because I know it's important for you. But keep in mind that it's late. And keep your comments short and go to the question very fast.
And keep it away.
Thanks, Subal, for your class. You made a lot of wonderful points. The points that came to mind that you made in the verse, I'll try to connect them. It says Krishna's agunasya, the verse, I believe I'm looking at it. He's free from the material qualities. And you were also saying we're trying to become self-sufficient like Krishna. And we see that Krishna is free from the material qualities. One reason is because he is self-sufficient. That one thing that came to mind is Padishya Maharaj, why the Bhagavatam was spoken. When Padishya Maharaj asked that sage for some water, and the sage ignored him, not on purpose, but because he was internally meditating. Because Padishya Maharaj wasn't self-sufficient, he became entangled in the material qualities. He became very upset. And we see that if Krishna says, I want some water will be manifested. So that's one. So my question is regarding this pastime is that we see that there's a nice quote that says, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside of us while we live. So we see that when Padishya Maharaj physically approached death, then that's when he began to become spiritually alive. On the other hand, when he was physically alive, then that's when he was more or less, you could say, spiritually dead, because he considers somebody, he mental speculated, like you said, give up, he mental speculated, this person is ignoring me on purpose. And therefore he made a mountain out of a molehill. So in our devotional life, one last pastime I'd like to mention that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and Chandramali Maharaj, when they were in New Vrindavan, they had to chop up ice in the winter to take a bath. They had to chop up wood. They had no plumbing, no, barely any prasadam. And therefore, I appreciate that. I can see why devotees like this last so long, because I don't have time to argue with anyone. I have to try to live. So what are some steps we could take when we're always eating prasadam nicely every day? It's like a mansion, you know, we come into a mansion eating prasadam. And therefore, like Padishya Maharaj, we blow everything out of proportion. How can we maintain, you know, our Krishna consciousness when we're given so much opulence? How is that possible?
Well, just the refrain, at least of the class that I was trying to, the points I was trying to highlight, which is, you know, and I think what Lord Brahma is saying here is you connect with your spiritual master and then take shelter of his instructions. And so we meditate, we constantly hearing what Lord Brahma say, constantly hear the about the glories of the Lord, and then with that, you know, under the shelter of the spiritual master, we start to understand. The position of constantly hearing is a secure position, and that's the instructions. Somehow or other we have to come to that. If we don't, then we spend time with our minds, you know, so, and that's trouble. Anyway, thank you. Karantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
tienes tanto. Thank you.